Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road just for one day only, because I don't know what the Orioles are going to do here over the next couple weeks, but it is my 55th birthday next weekend. Friday the 13th, we're going to be at Drug City at the Fountain upstairs, all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving away these Raven Scratch-Offs. Lucky batch so far. We had some winners over at Coco's last week, as well as at Pappas earlier in the month. We are also sponsored by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, as well as Jiffy Lube Multicare, sponsoring the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, and our 25th anniversary brought to you by our friends at Curio and and daughter, who gave me this great Baltimore shirt to wear. Let me like an Edgar Allan Poe thing going on here as well. As we watch wild card baseball this week, and it is Pittsburgh week around here, the Ravens are in first place, and we'll have time for them in November and December after the parade, as I say around here. But it is a baseball week. It's given me a great chance to reach a bunch of people. And this guy covered all things business and the beginning parts of Masson and the Nationals for the Washington Times. He's worked at Sports Business Journal. He is now with a group called Front Office Sports. You may have read that Jeff Zucker, from a former CNN head, has been involved there. He is our defending champion around here for all things interpretations of legalese. He is a lawyer by trade, a writer by choice, and he covers the business of sports better than anybody. Eric Fisher returns to the program here from Front Office Sports. And Fisher, I don't think you ever thought you'd be coming on. Let's see, first week of October, we would just have the ineptitude and mess of John Angelos announcing a lease that doesn't exist from a skybox with the owner during the biggest game of the year, Brooks Robinson last week, all that that's going on. But more than that, the shock of a one seed. And look at the time we have on our hands this week as everybody else fights it out in the wild card. This has been as good a season, and you're a baseball fan at heart, to see what the Orioles have done to resurrect the franchise.
Best since 1979.
Man, where we go from here. By the way, I just happen to have my 79 Orioles jersey here for you because I knew you would
love
want
it.
To see this.
Love it.
And the Aparicio piping on the back of the 79 jersey. I think this is the only one ever made. How are you? Happy postseason. Happy bunting season to anybody that loves the Orioles.
It's
right?
Great. To, even if you're not an Orioles fan, even if you're just a baseball fan, obviously the Orioles are one of those great traditional franchises. And we all can, whether you're a fan or not, you can appreciate the Oriole way, the adherence to fundamentals and doing things the right way, and a team that looks to be getting back to the Oriole way that we all knew and loved. That's a great thing. And having the Orioles relevant again on a national level, again, fan or not, that's a good thing for baseball.
Well, there's the on the field, then there's the off the field. And listen, I didn't bring you on to evaluate Bradish as a game one starter versus Means. And
I have no insights on Adley Rutschman.
Right. I mean, you follow the business of all of this. Yep. And we have talked lease. We have talked mass and money. We have talked learner exit in Washington for the franchise. And I'm inking a letter this week to Rob Manfred. Where's baseball in all this? I mean, John Boy says he's going to open his books. He doesn't open his books. He gets the New York Times, and I had Tyler Kepner on a couple of weeks ago to give him a back rub about how he's a visionary and he's going to do this and do that. The Ravens took the money from Larry Hogan. He's refused to take the money from Wes Moore. I'm friends with Wes Moore. I don't know what Wes was doing in the skybox the other night, and Brooks dying, and they were on the cusp of clinching, and like all of this stuff that happened last week. But this is going to deodorize the ownership that has not been very good, but what's happened on the field sort of is going to supersede anything weird that John Cesar does, including a champagne shower the other night on his own television network.
Yeah. So again, winning cures all ills, and this is a very good, very fun team. Now, my bigger issue is, yes, they made a messaging mistake on the lease and they sort of got out in front of themselves. I think it's ultimately going to get done. They're far enough along, and these politicians have sort of hung themselves out there and expended political capital even to say what they've said. I'm less concerned about that getting done than I am this core retaining. And I was on that background call with the various players involved, and I asked a very direct question about how does this change the equation of being able to retain this great and talented core, and didn't really get a very satisfying answer, to be quite honest. And so I think that's still the biggest issue out there for this team is what's going to happen when, you know, I said I didn't have any insight on Rutschman, but what happens when Rutschman and Henderson and everybody else hits their arbitration and free agent years? I don't have a sense of what we heard last week or what may come before the end of the year. Does that fundamentally change the equation on that? I don't know. And that's still the big question hanging over this team is this great group of talent going to be there in 5 years?
Well, it's not well run. It hasn't been well run. And, you know, squirt zone aside and cheap tickets aside, I had Rick Vaughn, the other Rick Vaughn, not from the movie Major League, but I'll harken back to the movie Major League, where if John wants to move the team, first thing, I Nashville's not giving him any money. The owners aren't going to, they're going to make it hell. But there was a point for all of us, you and me, who endured all of this back in the 90s. You wrote about it. I'm on the radio 32 years, every day of my life, that I've had to field questions and be their complaint department for all sorts of things. But it was so poorly run. Peter was such a bad guy. And there was always a thought where, like, there'll be an end to this. Much like for you in Washington, the cover of the Washington football team with Daniel Snyder, that there would be an end. I had Tom Lavero on, one of your former colleagues, a couple weeks ago, because he wrote this beautiful column about just what a celebration it was to be at a football game that was
everything's changed down there.
Where everybody's gone and there can be another day. And when John comes in and says, I'm going to run the team, and his first fundamental thing is to get his mother on his side, to gang up on his brother in this lawsuit, and you think, what jerks are these people? Then he opens his mouth on Martin Luther King Day, before they won 101 games, and says, no speaky, and how dare you, and Dan Connolly, and I'll open my books. Then he goes, opens his mouth on opening day, he pops off to the New York Times, and in the New York Times interview, he said the same things his father said when I did Free the Birds 17 years ago. Still one of the proudest things I ever did, which is saying that baseball should be this much fun all the time for us, that this city deserves a chance to compete, a chance to win every year. And his father said, those people walking out on me, they don't know what it takes to run a ball. They don't know how much money it takes to run a ball. Now, 17 years later, John Boy's telling the New York Times, well, you know, I don't know if we have the fundamental wherewithal and the financial, and the stadium's empty. And my wife and I went down there last week for Clinchmas on Wednesday that didn't happen. I paid $8, and there were 20,000 empty seats. Now, they gave something away on Saturday. They honored Jim Palmer Friday. There were still 20,000 empty seats. There's some optics about this, Eric, that I'm not allowed to say because I'm in Baltimore and I'm Baltimore positive, that would say, much like Major League, you want to move the team, you do everything you could do to hurt the team. John's not trying to hurt the team, although the payroll parity clause they had in Masson would fundamentally say they did everything they could do to suffocate the team financially while they took the money off the backside. You and I know that better than anyone. But the future and where the money's coming from, Eric, it's not coming from the $60 a month Orange Carpet Club fan. It's not coming even from the $12 beer or $15 beer you may buy out there. It's going to take real money to give Adley Rutschman $200 million or Gunnar Henderson.
Right.
And I have been convinced by some local people that they don't have any money, that somehow all the money that flew through here the last 25 years, they had no other ancillary business other than the law firm, which is gone with Dad now, and that they're selling off properties and they owe the Lerner family in excess of $100 million. You and I can figure out the
that
number
deal
on
is
that.
Done.
That they are broke in doing this and trying to figure out where the money would come from. They literally don't have money. Now, you know much more about national television revenue, the BAM money, all of that other thing that they drink from somebody else's pool. But I can tell you from the pool here, they've had as good a year as you can possibly have. They can't sell out their tickets. I'm a little worried about playoff tickets at $300, $400, $500 a throw. Once we get 2 weeks into this, whether there are going to be people here, like my wife and I looked at a pair of ALCS tickets and I'm like, I don't have a $900 night in me. I just don't. I mean, I don't do that.
No, and I've heard there are some average listing prices, you know, well into four figures.
So the money, let's go back. This is your part of the world. Are you concerned about the money as much as I am behind the scene of maybe they'll win the World Series this week? but what it's going to take from our community, from the businesses here, from Skybox owners, from real fans saying, I'm going to give the Orioles three, four, five, $6,000 a year.
With a population that's declining. I completely agree that this is a, you know, I love Baltimore. It's a great city, but the population, the numbers are the numbers, and the population is going down. And so this is the kind of thing that I keep wanting to hear more about since John took over, and certainly since this MOU was done. What is the plan going forward? And I've said this on your show before, and I'll say it again, that one of the great things about the Cubs rebuild and the Astros rebuild is that Jim Crane and Tom Ricketts were out, you know, basically the opening of a door. They went to every chamber of commerce thing that you could think of and said, this is the plan. Come with me. And you may not have agreed with the plan, and maybe some parts of the plan.
Well, the Orioles don't do that at all. I mean,
well,
the
see,
Ravens,
that's my point.
Sashi, like, Brown is more disappearing since he took over the Ravens. He's been running the Ravens for two seasons now, and no one knows who he is or what he looks like. Like, literally.
Well, and so, yeah, so that's the kind of retail politics that I think you have to play, and particularly when it's a lot of hand-to-hand combat in a market like yours, when you need every bit of that local dollar to maximize what you can do to keep up with where the rest of the league is going.
Well, there's a level of arrogance that has always existed in the Angelos family, which is, when we win, you'll be the first guy calling me looking for playoff tickets. Right? Like, there was always that. I mean, when they threw me out in 05-06, Greg Bader, you'll call me for playoff tickets. Yeah, well, I don't know. And then I don't know what that means on the other side. You know, Eric, part of this is the lease, the all-star game that they would want to have. I mean, they've had 2 months now to ramp up season tickets, which has been the way of the industry in hockey. The Capitals, you want playoff tickets? Buy next year's season tickets. Like, we've all seen this. The Ravens have done this the last couple of years after they kicked me out of my PSLs. Hey, buy a PSL and you'll get the rights to buy the playoff tickets once Lamar goes 13-4 this year. And, you know, that's the big promise. I don't know how many season books they sold for the rights to buy playoff tickets at $300 a piece. I really don't know, but I don't know that it's not the way it used to be in that way, where you're going to buy a season ticket next year and they're going to have this residual spillover where everybody's going to come next year. And this would be the difference between them taking a 4-game nap and being out next Wednesday and losing to Tampa, or them going on a run and winning a World Series, where right. Then John would have perhaps in his mind, he would have more leverage with Wes Moore the day after the parade.
I guess, but the building blocks of that deal are largely in place. I think, you know, where a lot of the specifics need to come into focus is where this mixed use development is going to come in. And again, I asked some questions about that, and there's not a lot of specifics there, but that's where a lot of this ancillary revenue is going to come in, because John and the Orioles want to have this Atlanta Braves model where you have these additional revenue streams coming in, and it makes it a more financially viable and competitive situation. Exactly what they plan on these various parcels, Camden Station, warehouse, and so forth, we've seen some various comments and ideas, but in terms of having a concrete plan, no pun intended, of what's going to go in and on these parcels and who the third-party partners are going to be, we don't know that yet. And so, again, the Wes Moore piece of that, that's still certainly work to be done, but these other elements, I think there are much bigger unanswered questions there and really speak to what the future of this team's going to be.
Every time I talk to somebody about John, they say he's hiring lobbyists to try to get federal money to try to build on the land behind me I'm opposite, that there's a tunnel underneath, you know, the Howard Street Tunnel sits underneath of this train, the train station that was there and Camden Yards and the yard station.
Right.
And it can't be built upon it with that sort of weight of a traditional 30-story building that may raise in the shadows of these two ballparks. Then there's parking. Then there's parity with the Ravens, which we're going to learn about this week with Billy Joel in 2 weeks from now, where the Ravens have a 1 o'clock game against the Lions. And if the Orioles were to be an ALCS team, there could be all sorts of things where the leagues get involved, television gets involved, the ownership gets involved, and the Orioles sort of have the the gold plan with the Maryland Stadium Authority because they had squatters' rights of being there first in regard to all of that. But this, all of this is, will the Angelos family be owning this team 5, 8, 10 years down the line? And there are a lot of people lined up behind the thought that when Peter dies, it's his will that it's sold. I don't know if I believe that or not. The mother at various points is wanted out. I wonder what Rob Manfred thinks long term here, that there's going to be another owner. There's going to be another situation here at some point, not in the far distant future, that we were going to have all-star games and all of those other things that are going to be league organized events. Where's Rob Manfred in all of this? Because he would love to have a super city around a baseball team built here, right? He'd love to see us do that.
Yeah, at the risk of sounding callous here, I think on a certain level, he doesn't really care. And I'm not saying he's completely unfeeling to John or Peter or the family or whatever, but, you know, his job, first and foremost, is to make sure that this team is viable on a long-term basis. And if some other new owner can come in and take the next baton and take what we're talking about in this development to another level and start getting in these jewel events and these kinds of things and, you know, can promise, you know, another level of stability for this franchise, you know, why wouldn't Rob Manfred be okay with that? I mean, that's really fundamentally his job here. And so that's, I think, whether it be John in some new sort of era here or it's somebody else, first and foremost is making sure that this team is on a good trajectory. And as you are outlining there, and I'm outlining, there are questions that still need to be answered on that. And it's just, again, whether it's John or somebody else, that trajectory has got to come into focus. And I think that's where Manfred's priority is going to be.
Eric Fisher is here. He is there at Front Office Sports and has been on the program for years and years talking about Masson money and the Angelos family and the future of the baseball team. And here we are, playoff games. I was supposed to have Raul Ibanez on earlier this week. I don't know if I'm ever going to get him on or not, but he canceled in. And we were going to talk about the game itself and the growth of the game and where the game is, where I'm in this city my whole life, 32 years on the air, 27 years now where it's been shared football and baseball. This is the first October ever here. 97, and the Ravens were new then. This is the first October ever, even in 14 when, you know, they were good. The football team had just won the Super Bowl. So it's a different level of interest. And I'm seeing that in Cincinnati where tickets are $200 now to go to Bengals games. I mean, they've put the magic in a bottle and they've gotten off to a rough start. But with the balance of things here where, and I'll give you an example, Eric, last week, the Ravens played two home games, both had $10 tickets at 11 in the morning, the day of the game, $10 tickets to get into Ravens games. And they're good. They're competitive. They have the exciting player,
That's a different issue because football live, as you well know, there's a good case to be made that football on television is actually a better experience than football live.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I think baseball on television is way better than being there because I can see the strike zone. So for me, the Orioles throwing me out. Like if I want to watch
more of an open debate.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to watch a World Series game on a 45 degree night out in the cold in left field and pay to be there and not see the strike zone, it's a rah, rah and all that. But if you want to watch the game, I don't see the game well of football at all on television. You don't see the secondary. I saw the game far better in my seats in section 513, the middle of the upper deck, because I just did. But I would say this on the
well,
football,
because
baseball,
you're a pro on that one, because being behind, a lot of people want to be on the sidelines, but being behind an end zone, you can see the plays develop.
Marvin Lewis told me to sit there in 1996, so I did. He said, sit next to the coach's tape. I sat next to the coach's tape for 26 years.
You can see the plays develop.
Oh, my God. Every kickoff. I mean, you see holes that happen or don't happen. You see separation with wide receivers in the passing game. You see tight ends get open across all of that. I would just say to you, for the Oriole experience and them having empty seats really all year at $5 or $10 a throw, you could go $10 anytime you wanted, and they had lots and lots of empty seats. The baseball growth thing of 162 games, we're going to shorten the games, we're going to have a pitch clock. All of this is here because we had a baseball team that was great this year. We're all like, hey, it's better than these 4-hour games. I'm glad we're good this year instead of back in 2018 when it was a slog and all the shifting and the things that happened in baseball. baseball's improved their game this year dramatically. I don't just say that because I'm sitting in Baltimore, we're having a good time here. I don't know what that means long term. What has that meant to television eyeballs staying with games in the eighth and ninth inning and the things that they need to do to sell? But what is the state of Major League Baseball right now, Eric?
I think in a pretty solid place writ large. I mean, there's been some existential challenges, but there's labor peace now for another four seasons. You've got attendance that was up almost 10%, 9.6%. You've got digital consumption up. You've got average game times down to their lowest level since 1985. There's a lot of good trajectory there. Now, this was 1 year. You need to continue on that and have that be a sustained thing and not a 1 year flash in the pan. But there was a lot of progress made this year. And even in the case of the Orioles, you raised some good points, but to have this team, I mean, 2019, last year before the pandemic, they had not only the worst year in the entire Camden Yards era, but the worst year since 1978. They were at a very, very, very low base. So to be back up where they are now, be up 35% year over year. Now, the challenge, as we're talking about, is for them to get out there and take the next step and not rest on their laurels. And so, you know, both the team and the league at large, there was some real meaningful progress made on a lot of these key business indicators, but this was 1 year. And for this to really be moving in a fundamentally other place to a fundamentally other place, there needs to be more of this next year and the year after and so on.
Well, the biggest question, and I know you follow this day to day at Front Office Sports and your work with back from Sports Business Journal before that, just the television money and the house that Masson was built on, which was really stealing money from everybody in the population. It was a public interest that if you had cable television, which 92% of the world had.
That's every RSN.
Right. That was the model for the business was usurping all of this television money from people who may or may not be watching it, right? And that was also MTV's model and the Weather Channel, like all of that.
Everybody.
With cable television, right? So that was the industry that has imploded. And now every artist, television station, Paramount, Apple TV, all of these, the fractured part as a sports fan that we've all experienced, whether it's the Big Ten Network, whatever we're into, cable bundling, that baseball's next big idea is how you're going to consume the game. But more than that, and I have to apologize to you and everyone else that I had on the program last year. And I'm sponsored by the lottery and Hollywood Casino. We're doing our event up there next Sunday on the 15th for the Ravens game in London. We're going to be up there for breakfast. The baseball betting thing and the amount of money that betting, I always said, who's going to bet on baseball? Nobody. I know my kids betting on, people are betting on baseball. And I'm a little shocked by that, but as an offer, if you're going to sit and watch it on a Wednesday night, to say, I think Mountcastle's going to hit a bomb tonight. It's 8-1. I'll put $10 on that. Have a little bit of fun every time he comes up. It's like being at the casino without, but I like baseball. The gambling money and then figuring out the media money, that's the big prize, right? For there is no other prize for them, is there?
So, yeah, there's a couple different things there. That one of the things they're trying to obviously do is figure out this whole media implosion, media disruption that you're talking about. And this is part of why they're doing these Friday night deals with Apple and the Sunday morning thing on Peacock, is get some additional learnings there that when it comes time for the next round of national rights, quite possibly moving more inventory over into places like there. Amazon's doing huge numbers so far this year on their Thursday night football. That points another way to go here.
How about YouTube? I mean, becoming this goofy thing we had on the internet 15 years ago, we put up our goofy videos and now it's the place you have to go watch the NFL ticket.
Right. Same sort of thing. So that's all moving in that direction in a much more direct one-to-one kind of basis. And the next round of MLB national rights will certainly include more of that than we already have. And the Orioles, like the other 29 teams, will share handsomely in that. So that's one level. And the league is trying to sort of figure that out in real time and also do so when they are more exposed to the RSN implosion than anybody else, just given the inventory of games. The gambling thing, that's a different sort of thing. And they, like the other leagues, have sponsorships and preferred gambling providers and everything. And they're working on a situation like the other leagues where you can have a direct situation, if you choose to, watch an alternate feed where you can bet directly from that game that you're watching, that that game is on, and there are things that you can press on your phone or on your remote that you can place a bet directly. And that would be an alternate opt-in sort of feed that would be completely separate and completely gated from the traditional presentation of a game, you know, your sort of standard presentation. It would be sort of like a betting version of a Manning cast. And so that's something that baseball is working on, just like any of the other major leagues are working on. And we've seen flavors of this already on a regional level. And over the next 3 to 5 years, you know, across all the major sports, we're going to see a lot more of that because the interest is there. It's just, you know, it's not a mass thing, but for those that one,
well, there was no culture for it. Horse racing was about betting, period, right? The football for a lot of people. I mean, I've been on the air 32 years. I did picks back in the 90s. We didn't have the Ravens here picking games and point spreads and who do you like and call Jim Feist and call my 900 number. And I mean, there's always been a football culture for betting. Baseball's hoping that's a great place of growth for them, right?
Yeah, but they're also setting it up that it's all sort of, they're not requiring to make the rent money to use the betting analogy, that this all becomes gravy for them. And if it works out, great. But if it stays a small thing, that's not something that a team is relying on in and of itself to make payroll.
Well, Scott Boras comes get some of that gravy too when the time comes for the players.
Of course,
and stuff.
Of course.
Anything and you want to say about Rutschman and Henderson here specifically, as I bring up Boras a second time today, because we talked about Ben McDonald 35 years ago. And real concerns for me that the Angelos family is broke and that Major League Baseball is coming in trying to figure all this out at a really tender time where every single day moving forward, these kids get more expensive, right? I mean, like, it's Machado being the greatest example, and we lived through the Lamar sweepstakes here for a year and a half. The Henderson-Rutschman thing, and I don't know if it's 1 or 1A or sign Henderson first because he's a shortstop, not a – whatever it is. But it's going to be in the hundreds of millions to sign them. And as a line item, when you put that on a 26, 27 pro forma and say, where's that money coming from? They don't know what their revenue stream is then.
Well, that's what I was saying before, right? And that's literally why getting this real estate thing clarified sooner rather than later is going to be really important, because it speaks directly to your number one cost basis, which is going to be your top end talent.
What kind of team are you going to be? Are you going to be the Rays or are you going to be the Cardinals, right?
Well, but even the Rays are trying to not be the Rays anymore. They have a stadium deal, and you can argue whether or not that's on the wrong side of the bay, but they have a deal in place now, and they've already stated their intention that they would like to be somebody else once this new place opens.
Well, the Orioles are trying to be somebody else. Eric Fisher, he's changed roles a couple times. Hey, tell me about front office sports so I know what front office sports is.
So this is a digital multi-platform outlet covering the business of sports. We've got a twice daily newsletter that I'm principally involved with, but we've also got a website, a podcast. We're getting into some other areas as well. And, you know, we're growing like a weed, and it's been great.
Well, I love having you on as always. I hope to see you down here for a crab cake and some late October. I hope you need a sweater when you get here a couple weeks. Do you like the Orioles? I mean, this is a fascinating time, because a couple weeks ago it was like, well, if they just make the play, if they just win the division, if they just make it to the World Series, for me, it's an Elvis song. It's a now or never, right? Because you don't think next year, I had Rick Vaughn on with the Rays back in 08, next year, ask Cal Ripken about next year. I mean, there ain't no tomorrow. There's just right now. And there's not a whole lot of years. You're going to have the Red Sox and Yankees out of your way. You're going to be a one seed. You're going to sit here and watch baseball all this week, whether it's
there's no runaway favorite, and they pitch like crazy, and October baseball is about pitching, and so why wouldn't you like them? Yes, the Texas can hit, and Tampa's been there a million times, and you can't, you know, the Astros are like Freddy Krueger. They just will not die, this is also a weaker Astro team, that they are not like the Astros of old, and they can be beaten, and what's not to like? Now, having said all of that, I think the Orioles are still a class away from the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves have been the best team in baseball all year long, and they still are my favorite going into this thing. They've been just nothing short of excellent for 6 months now. So if it turns out to be a Braves Orioles World Series, the Braves would have to be the clear favorite there. But, you know, for these couple of weeks before then, why wouldn't you like the Orioles? Because, again, they pitch like crazy, and that's what October's all about.
Boy, this is going to be fun. We have baseball this weekend. Billy Joel, Stevie Nicks, I don't know. We'll find out all this stuff.
I saw the June show in Philly. It was fantastic. Just 4 hours of a great time.
Stop dragging my heart around is what I'm saying. You know, John Mayer coming in a couple weeks. We got Queen in town next week at CFG Bank Arena. It's good times around here right now. We're smoking them all we got. We got a 3-1 football team. Luke is in Owings Mills enjoying himself. It's Pittsburgh week, and we are just watching batting practice and watching wild card games all week. Eric, I hope to get you back on here when the lease is real and done. How about that? All right.
Yep. That sounds great.
We can argue whether it's good, bad, or ugly. Anything that keeps baseball here is good. Anything that grows, it's even better. It is a time for baseball growth around here and a lot of fun. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the eve of my 55th birthday next Friday, the 13th. Also the eve of Jim Palmer's birthday as well. We'll be giving away Raven scratch-offs at the Fountain at Drug City next Friday from 2 until 5. I've got some great guests joining me for my birthday as well. Our friends at Window Nation are involved, 866-90-NATION, reminding you about all that they do. And then our newest sponsor, Jiffy Lube MultiCare. I'll be telling you about that right around the corner from you. I got my oil changed down at Dundalk at Merritt Boulevard a couple weeks ago. Did a great job. Jiffy Lube MultiCare back with us again for football season. I am Nestor. We are celebrating 25 years and our 25 stories of glory up at WNST. That is brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter, who gave me a really nifty Baltimore shirt to wear, and it fits me nice. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive, and World Series fever.